Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. For where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation. We believe this. The intensity of the young man was striking. His fervency was infectious as he described to me his joy and his love for his Lord and Savior. "Pastor, I want to be baptized," he said. But you were baptized as an infant, weren't you?" I responded. "Yes, and wasn't it just about 5 years ago that you were confirmed?" Yes, that's true, but I didn't understand what it meant." And he went on to explain how in a Bible study with friends, it had suddenly become crystal clear to him what Jesus had done. Suddenly he saw in stark contrast his own miserable, sinful life and the pure, innocent life of Jesus offered and sacrificed on his behalf. And he was filled with gratitude and thankfulness, and he wanted to know what to do. What should I do? And he asked his friends, and they told him, "By all means, fulfill all righteousness, and in an act of obedience, be baptized." And so he asked me, "Pastor, will you baptize me?" You're probably familiar with the term Kodak moment, referring to a prime photographic opportunity. This was a catechetical moment, a prime opportunity for instruction. We have these moments for ourselves and with others as well with some frequency. They remind us that we're all still students, learners, and that we have not yet even mastered the catechism. It's not surprising that in this particular situation, the young man's catechetical moment had to do with the sacraments, their relationship with each other, his relationship to them. And out of joy, out of God's gifts, he wanted to know, what should he do? What should he do when suddenly the light goes on and what before had been invisible is now crystal clear? Reminds me of a cartoon on Dr. Veltz's door. There's a scholar sitting at his desk before heaps of books, and behind him is a huge library. He's studying very hard, but on his face is an amazed expression. The caption reads, "Good Lord, for a moment there it suddenly all made sense." It made sense for this young man, too. And sometimes in our lives, it suddenly all makes sense. It all comes together in a moment when things are synchronized, coordinated, harmonized. We may have heard 10,000 times about Jesus' life, Jesus' death, and Jesus' resurrection, but suddenly there's the moment when we look at the cross and we see our sins, and we can even name them, draped on the shoulders of our Savior as he dies. And we look in the empty tomb, and there we see our own grave, once filled with death, but now vacant for eternity. And we ask, what shall we do? What shall we do when we can say with the psalmist, "Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance." Blessing upon blessing showered upon us, unearned, undeserved, even unasked for. And yet they come. What should we do? What should we do after years of labor and sacrifice? The Holy Spirit, through his church, blesses us, and in our own frail hands, there's a call document. How do we respond? Well, first, I know what we're not supposed to do. We're not to create for ourselves self-chosen good works and try to pay back God for his mercy and gifts to us. If you want to find out all about how to do that, look at Luther's Large Catechism, particularly in the Ten Commandments section, where he frequently refers to the Carthusians, a group of people who seem to have a singular talent for doing that very thing, creating actions, calling them good works, and then trying to pay back God for his mercy. No, we do not respond to God's gifts by manufacturing our own holiness. Nor do we change God's good work done for us into a good work done for him. See, that's what the young man was about to do with his question. He had had a quantum leap in his faith. Suddenly it all made sense, and he assumed that he really hadn't had faith before. Well, I talked to him about what had he learned when he was in Sunday school. What had he learned when he was in kindergarten about Jesus? What did he learn when he was in confirmation class? Yes, he said, but I didn't understand it. But when you were in kindergarten, did you understand it like a kindergartner would? When you were in Sunday school, did you understand it like a Sunday school student would? When you were 13, did you understand it like a 13-year-old? My understanding of God's love deepens as I mature. Yes, it was complete in the gift of baptism that I received so long ago, and yet when I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. And after much discussion, he saw that it was his understanding that had changed, not the gift that God had given. And it would not please God to take the gift of baptism and turn it into his own good work. So what are we to do then? Well, the answer is astonishingly simple, but we would have never thought of it ourselves. We first respond to God's great gifts by receiving more gifts. The young man's answer was not to return to the font. It was to go and approach the table, which he did. If we want to show God appreciation for the gifts that he has given to us, the very first thing we're asked to do by God and commanded is to receive more gifts. Forgiveness of sins, life and salvation, and the assurance that comes through that. You want to show God appreciation for his gifts? Go get some more. This sounds too good. This is like winning the publisher's clearinghouse sweepstakes and then turning to Ed McMahon and saying, oh, how can I repay you? And he tells you, well, here's how. Please, take another $3 million. This isn't gold or silver that we're talking about, however. Perishable things. We're talking about the blood of Jesus Christ, the pure sacrifice given on our behalf. This is his supper. It's given for you, shed for you, prepared for you. This is our life. Will we do more? Surely we will do more, but we won't do the sanctified works of a full Christian life prepared in advance for us to do because we're debtors and our hearts are empty. We will do those works because our hearts are filled and overflowing, and that overflow has to go somewhere. So let us rejoice at what we have received and what we receive even more. And may we all continue to thank God by receiving the meal that he has prepared for his people, that we may be strengthened to be his joyful servants. Amen.